All right, kiddos, come on. Join me up here. How's everybody today?
Good.
Let's see. Any of these boys need a haircut?
Do I?
Me.
Kind of getting a little long on the side there, Jeremiah.
What about me?
Yeah, Jimmy. They might send you home from school.
Wait, as long as it's not from you.
I need a haircut.
Well, you know, Brother Dusty has haircut and shears. I'll be glad to cut any of y'all's hair anytime. I got to get the dog hair out of it first, though, before. All right. Well, today, in the 8th chapter of John, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." What do you think he meant by that? I'm the light of the world. It's a picture. It's a picture because in a world that was full of darkness and sin, Jesus comes and he turns on the light. And he is the light. Now, if he's the light of the world, what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be the reflectors of that light and let his light shine through us. Well, where we'll do things that will show other people Jesus. Now, I brought something with me today. In fact, yes, a little flashlight. And Jesus wants us to let our light shine. In other words, for him to shine through us, for us to be the reflector of Jesus, to shine Jesus to the world. So we're gonna shine like you. Let me turn this light on. And we can shine. Wait a second. Did one of y'all sabotage my Jesus light here?
I did.
It's not working.
What happened? No battery.
Oh, I see it.
My dad has
it on your
body. Yeah, there's a shining light back there. Well, let's see. Something's wrong with this thing. It feels kind of light.
My dad sold the battery.
Let's see.
No. I think there's batteries.
Wait a second. Golly, there's not batteries in here.
What is it?
There's trash in here and junk.
Really?
Look at this.
What?
Look at all this stuff that's in here.
Is that
somebody has gotten into my... and took the batteries out so my light won't shine. Wait a second. Let's see here. Let's see. See if I've got some batteries here. Oh, look at there. I just happen to have some batteries in my pocket there. Let's put those batteries in there. How about that?
I guess it wasn't working.
Now let's see. Let's see what it'll do now. Oh, there you go. Now my light can shine. But you know, my light wouldn't shine if it didn't have power. 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 So we can't shine for Jesus unless we have him in us because he is the power. That's right. He's the power of God in our lives. So, we need to let Jesus shine through us, but we've got to have him in our life before we can shine for him. I hope all of y'all have Jesus in your life. If you've never invited Jesus in your life, today's would be a good day to do that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these children. Pray, Lord, that you'll continue to teach them, Lord, as you open their minds and their heart to understand and experience you. Holy Spirit, come. Come and speak and work. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all go to Kids Zone. Now, in case y'all didn't know, today's a special day. We got somebody in here that's 36 years old today. Anybody know who that might be? In fact, In fact, if he'll own up to it, someone brought him a present. Oh, no, that's the wrong present. Daniel's 36 today. Let's say happy birthday to Daniel. We love you, buddy. Cool breeze. Yes, thank you very much. Oh, man. And y'all still think, some of you folks still think that I come up with all those names. Why is it that you have a complimentary name and the rest of us get names like Chili Dog, Corn Dog, Slaw Dog, what's that? Pita Head. And then I'm Cool Breeze. Oh, that's good. All righty. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me today to 1 Samuel. And John, if you'll put that up, 1 Samuel chapter 6. We have been, in the last several weeks, we have been examining the question of hearing from God, hearing the voice of God. You know, there are a lot of people today that say they hear from God. Who really does hear His voice? Have you needed to hear His voice this week? What's going on in your life right now? Do you have any situations of life that are going on right now? You don't know what to do. You have family situations that are out of control. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to fix it? Would you like for someone to just come in and just write it in the sky? Have you prayed that prayer recently? Lord, just write it in the sky. Let me see it. I'll do whatever you say that I need to do. Well, really? What about the last thing that you clearly heard from the Lord? Were you obedient with that? We've been looking at the life of Samuel and then Samuel in the time in which he lived, seeing how the Philistines had taken the ark of the Lord in battle. All of these Israelites had died because of disobedience. They're using the Ark of the Covenant like a good luck charm. And we see all the things that God is doing in that. And the backdrop of all that that's going on is it God or not God? Who is the real God? Is it Yahweh or is it Dagon? Who really hears the voice of God? Is it the Philistines? Or is it the Israelites? And you'll see all of these. In fact, if you track in 1 Samuel, you'll see one group in opposition to the other, one group against the other, one truth against the other. It's on and off. It's dark and light. It's back and forth, back and forth. And in each instance, the Lord is showing Himself. He is revealing Himself. Now, we want to go back and read. This is the NIV. John, okay. We're going to read NIV. This is part of what we read last week, and then we're going to read to the end of the chapter. When the Ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory 7 months, completion, the Philistines called for the priest and the diviners, and they said, "What shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it back to its place." And they answered, "If you return the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it back to him without a gift. By all means, send a guilt offering to him." This was something that was popular amongst the religious groups, this idea of this offering. And there was this idea, very much so, the guilt offering in the Israeli practice of that time. "Then you will be healed, and you'll know why his hand has not been lifted from you. Because see, the Philistines are still concerned. They're still worried. You know, we really don't want to do this if this is just some fake God that is out there. The Philistines asked, what guilt offering should we send to him? They replied, 5 gold tumors, 5 gold rats, according to the number of the Philistine rulers, because the same plague has struck both you and your rulers. Those of you who haven't been with us, those are the 5 cities, those 5 city-states of the Philistines that existed at that time. And so they were, and the ark had been at each of the cities, and they didn't want the ark anymore because what was happening at each place? They were getting this case of hemorrhoids at each place. These holy hemorrhoids that were coming from the Lord, and they didn't want any more of that. And a plague of rats came and followed that. Hey man, this stuff's in the Bible. Verse 5. Make models of the tumors and the rats that are destroying your country and give glory to Israel's God. Note there, Israel's God. They didn't say His name. Perhaps He will lift His hand from you and your gods and your land. Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? When Israel's God dealt harshly with them, did they not send the Israelites out so they could go on their way? Remember, we revisited this. They're remembering stuff that went on years before, and they knew about it. The story went about that was being shared around what this God of this Israelites did. Now then, get a new cart ready. 2 cows that have calved and never been yoked. Hitch the cows to the cart. Take their calves away. Pin them up. Take the ark of the Lord and put it on the cart. And in a chest beside it, put the gold objects that you're sending back to Him as a guilt offering. And send it on its way. You see what they're doing? They're testing it. Remember now, those of you who haven't been with us, These cows, they're going to separate them from their calves. And the test is, if they will go away from their calves, that will show them that this is something that is from the Lord, the God of the Israelites. Send it on its way, verse 9, but keep watching it. If it goes up to its own territory toward Beth Shemesh, What does that mean? Do y'all remember what Beth Shemesh means? House of. Beth means house of. The sun. Then the Lord has brought this great disaster on us. But if it does not, then we'll know that it's not His hand that struck us, but that it's happened to us by chance. Does this sound like our culture right now? Does it sound, we're going to parse it to death, the same. We're going to make sure that this is of God. But we're not going to be involved in it. Verse 10, so they did it. They took 2 such calves, hitched them to the cart, pinned up their calves. They placed the ark of the Lord on the cart, along with its chest contained the gold rats, the models of the tumors. And then the cows went straight up toward Beth Shemesh, keeping on the road and lowing all the way. They did not turn to the right or the left. Would you call that a miracle? Yes, sir. That they didn't go back to their squealing calves. The rulers of the Philistines followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. Now, I want you to think for just a moment what that must have looked back like. This cart that has nobody driving it has the ark of the Lord on it, and beside it this other chest that's just going down the road, and you've got these Philistines dressed in their regalia, these leaders, these great men that have all the money and power and weapons and all that stuff, and they're tiptoeing along behind this thing, following it. You got the picture? Do we do some idiot things too? Now, the people of Beth Shemesh, they were out harvesting their wheat in the valley. When they looked up and they saw the ark, they rejoiced at the sight. Why did they rejoice? Hey, The thing that we screwed up real bad using as a good luck charm, God is returning it. Praise to His name. The cart came to the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh, and there, interesting, that would be Yeshua there. that's the name there, Joshua. And there it stopped beside a large rock. And the people chopped up the wood of the cart, sacrificed the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. So they spontaneously have this offering to the Lord, to Yahweh. Verse 15, the Levites took down the ark of the Lord. Now, why did the Levites do it? Huh? Yeah. Who's supposed to touch it? You read it. They're the ones who are supposed to be touching this thing. No one else. So here, I'm saying that, making a point about that, because here these people, they know the established principles of the Lord and how He wants these things handled. So, Levites took down the Ark of the Lord together with the chest containing the gold objects. They placed them on the large rock. You got the picture? They're doing all this. Now remember, they've got this audience, the Philistines, that are out there watching. You know, got their binoculars, you know. They're looking at things. On that day, the people of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and they made sacrifices to the Lord. So here's a spontaneous offering. Here you have hearts changed. They made sacrifices. Because we're talking about things of the heart here that are going on in their lives. The five rulers of the Philistines saw all this and then returned that same day to Ekron, which was one of their five major city states. So they watched the whole thing. They see it's all right. And then they leave. Verse 17. Now these are the gold tumors of the Philistines sent as a guilt offering to the Lord, one each for Ashdod, here's the five, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The number of the gold rats was according to the number of Philistine towns belonging to the five rulers, which would have been more. Fortified towns with their country villages. The large rock on which the Levites set the Ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua, Yeshua of Beth Shemesh. But, man, it was all going so well. Things were happening. But God struck down some of the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death because they looked into the ark of the Lord. What did they do? They did exactly what they knew was wrong. Did they have any precedent of looking in the ark? No. Did anybody teach them that's something that they were supposed to do? No. Were they led of the Lord to do that? Was it part of their worship that they would do that? No. Their sinful curiosity, satisfying their flesh, satisfying themselves. The Lord put 70 of them, those multiples of seven, here you go, another number of completion here, of them to death because they looked into the ark of the Lord. Had God told them to look into the ark? No. No. There's a lot of religious things that go on that God has nothing, nothing, nothing to do with. And sometimes it happens in the middle of good things that are going on. And then somebody decides, I got a good idea. Because who do you see here? Who's it put the light on? Who's the light on up to this point in time? The light was upon the Lord. Now, who is the light upon? These 70. And God kind of let them know. As my professor of Old Testament in seminary, he used this verb all the time. He would say, God dispatched them. I don't want to be dispatched by God because I've been an idiot. The people mourned because the heavy blow the Lord had dealt them. Now, what did they immediately know? They immediately knew what? All these worshipers knew immediately what? The Lord did it. The Lord did it. No doubt about it. We don't have to sit around and think, oh, let's have an all-day prayer meeting and let's see if we can discern this. God acted. They saw it was God. Bingo, bango, done. God did it. And the people of Beth Shemesh ask, who can stand in the presence of the Lord, his holy God? Do you see that? Because up till that point, what were they doing? They weren't standing. They were falling on their faces before the Lord. But then what does man want to do? I'm going to stand and elevate me. That's what these 70 did. Whew, man, that's a fearsome thing. To whom will the ark go up from here? Does that question sound familiar? Who else had been asking that question? It had just come from five Philistine cities. The people at Beth Shemesh had decided, you know, maybe the blessing of the Lord needs to go somewhere else right now. Because they saw the disobedience. They were making a choice. I don't think I'm reading into this. They're making a choice. My question is, why wouldn't those who were worshiping in a true man, why wouldn't they say, oh, let it stay here for a while longer? Then they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath Jearim, saying, the Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to your town. All right, make a few comments. You got the story? Got a picture of it? Yeah, thank you, John. You see, Philistine cities, then Beth Shemesh, and then it'll go to Kiriath Jearim. First, the Philistines who had the ark had thought they could have a relationship with this God of the Israelites on their own terms. Note how throughout the story you see the Philistines still trying to dictate terms. Even on the road as they're following it, and even taking the evidence of what happens. They see this worship service, and instead of being drawn in, what do? They turn around and leave. Do you see that? It is a dangerous thing for any of us to try to dictate the terms of our relationship to God. I'm telling you, you better be careful about all the stuff you're looking at on the internet, all the books you're reading, unless it's this book, because it's all gotta come through this truth here. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that's man trying to dictate terms and formulas to God. Do you hear me? It's a dangerous thing. Secondly, the Philistines continued to play around the edges about a relationship with God. We're looking at their history, and now in several hundred years, all the evidence they see about what, and they readily admit in the story, readily admit that they've been putting this evidence together. And what does all the evidence point to? It points to the one God who is over all. And yet, what have they done with Him? In our nation right now, what does the evidence point to? In the world right now, go around the world. And by the way, I still think we live in the greatest nation on the face of the planet. There's no other place I want to live on the face of this planet. But as I look around the world right now, I'm seeing evidence that His plan is working out exactly to the letter as it says in this book. What are we doing about it? We still play around the edges. We celebrate 9/11. Not much fanfare this year. 13th anniversary. 9/11. I hear all the bold people, the Dawkins of the world, the atheists of the world, the boldness of those of all those people when they're at peace and the money's coming in and all that. But you know what? I lived through 9/11 and you did too. And I remember what those people weren't saying on those days. And I remember how they weren't sticking their head up to voice any of that at that time. I remember that well. I remember the quietness on the terrain with the arrogant statements against God. They weren't so boisterous then. Do you remember that? Number three, in the story, the Philistines were willing to let God pass by and be unchanged by Him. Hearing His voice, but choosing to not obey. You see, that there's the dichotomy because intrinsic to Hebrew thought is if you hear God's voice, you obey God's voice. It's not this Western Greek idea that you can live one life over here and another life over here and they can be completely separate and everything's okay. No. But that's what points this out as even larger truth. They're willing to let Him pass by and be unchanged by Him. Number four. The Israelites, in large part, up to this time, were not even recognizing all that they had lost. Later, the Lord's going to get their attention in a larger way. But up to this time, they weren't recognizing all that they lost. They couldn't see it because they were too busy coming up with their own devices and doing their own thing. Is that true of you? Where you live? Number five. When the ark does show up, we see a spontaneous thankfulness that comes. And you see that spark, and you see these people responding out of the heart, which is where we must respond from. You see them doing something, and it immediately corresponds with the Word. Because what the Spirit of God leads them to do is not going to contradict this Word, is it? So, and they spontaneously do that. But what happens with a group of 70 that was struck down? They assumed. And the beginning of assumption is that we take this throne of our lives that was intended only for the Lord to sit upon. This is the beginning of assumption. And we sit upon it. And as soon as my backside makes contact, metaphorically speaking, with the throne of my life, who have I said is Lord of my life? Got it? That's what the 70 did. I've come up with a good idea. And see, it was in the middle of good news and rejoicing and all that. They assumed. One of the things I warn people that the Lord gives the gift of intercession to. It's a real temptation to assume. Oh, I heard this from the Lord. That must mean... The same God who shows you that will also show you when, how, where, how much, and with whom. And you got to hear His voice about all that too. That's why we have the body. That's why we have each other. That's why we encourage people to be in a life group where they can speak into one another's lives in love. We can never assume. You see, those 70, though all that was happening, they may have heard God's voice, but they were disobedient to what they heard and what they witnessed. And because of that, God couldn't let it pass. They tried to come to God in vain curiosity. You see a lot of this on the internet. And listen, I'm not encouraging y'all to do research about this on the internet because there are 1,000 potholes on there. But there are a lot of this type. There are a lot of the 70 on the internet right now. I'll put it that way. Who are just in vain curiosity, parsing words, but nothing ever changes in their hearts. They've gone the other direction. You see, that day, God wasn't looking for inspectors. He was looking for followers. He was looking for people who would hear His voice and be obedient, not inspectors, who would set themselves up as judge and jury. Let's look in the box. Right about now, if I was technologically savvy, I'd show you that clip from Indiana Jones where the Nazis are with the French guy are opening the box. And you know, that might have been how it happened with the 70 that I don't know. Finally, we've got to say it. There's some of those Jews that even didn't want the ark. Follow me here. I know there's other points to be made, but some of them didn't want the ark because they didn't want any responsibility in their lives. Let me tell you, when you choose him, of course, that's after he's already chosen you. You're just responding to his invitation. You immediately have responsibility in your life. Do you hear me? There's no putting it in neutral, and we're going to coast through the rest of life. Marilyn sent me a song this week. She'd been after me for days to listen to it. And I finally did. And for such a time as this. And let me tell you, it's a great song. Who's the guy, Marilyn? I'll send it to you this week. Anyway, for such a time as this, God has brought you and me and us to the kingdom. And if you hadn't listened to anything else I've had to say today, I want you to listen to this. We have the hope of all generations who resides in us. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. He's not one of the ways, He's not one of the truths, He's not one way of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He resides via His Spirit in us. The very Spirit of Yeshua lives in me and in all those who claim the name of Yeshua, of Jesus, in this day. God has picked us in the history of mankind. He has picked us to live now and to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. To be part of the ones given answers. Yeah, and ask some questions sometime. But to give answers to people. To be lifting people up, not kicking them down. To tell them the truth about heaven and about hell. About life and about death. To hear His Word and to live it out. To be obedient. And you know what? People are a lot willing to follow this. Oop, got a hole in it. They're a lot more willing to follow this than they are this. Do you hear me? Somebody that they see God's Word in. Not some weirdo that's out there offending everybody every time they get a chance and calling it Jesus. But some person who has given their lives to Christ. And yes, sometimes that means offending people in the process. But a person who's just poured out his life. Who's a poured out sacrifice to others. to live it out, to spontaneously say, Lord, come, come. Now let me ask you this question. Do you believe that the Lord will restore to us what has been stolen by the evil one, by the world system? By the choices of our own flesh? Yes, sir. I believe that. Are you willing to listen and be obedient to its call? It's up to you. Think about it. Read the Word. Let that book interact with your soul. Lord, some of us have great burdens that we've brought here today. Right now we're asking you to lift burdens. We're asking you to come with your power, with your might, with your majesty. We're asking, Lord, to do only what you can do. And that's all that we need. Some of us, Lord, here have been wrestling with you for a long time. Deep within us, we're being drawn to you. But Lord, I'm asking right now to remove all the blockades and clear the way for a clear shot of faith, of trust in you. In you alone. Thank you. The altar's open. The pastors will be here. If you'd like to come, you'd like to come. The altar's open. Come. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring that a card to, and there's a basket in the back. Basket's up here, but this is your time of prayer. Your time. Come. Please like to hear testimonies of what God has done, and Dix has brief testimony she wants to share with you right now.
I wanted to share with my church family that God, in His infinite grace and through debt forgiveness and perseverance on my part and being faithful, has brought into my life the opportunity to be debt-free.
Praise the Lord. What else can you say? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want that blessing? Huh? I see John up there. John's about to do a jig up there. Yes, sir. Bring that to my house. Woo! Let's go. Every time, like Thomasina Washington, every time you say Holy Ghost or debt free, get up and do a dance. All right. I send you out in the name of the Lord Jesus, who has power through your life for forgiveness, for healing, for deliverance. Be obedient to Him as you go this week. Amen.